Falcons, who beat the Raiders yesterday at the Georgia Dome and head to the bye week at 6-0. It'll be 2 weeks now, well, virtually 2 weeks, 13 days before the Falcons will travel to Philadelphia to meet the Eagles. We'll join you in 2 weeks at 1 o'clock, the AT&T countdown to kickoff with Steak Shapiro and Chris Tomino at 11 a.m. A little calendaring note, no program next week coming off the bye week. So we'll visit with head coach Mike Smith here in a few moments, and then general manager Thomas Dimitroff will join us in our second half hour, which is always a fascinating conversation. We try to do it two different times during the course of the year, and there's always something to pull from when you talk with Thomas Dimitroff.
Yeah, Thomas and his staff continue to comb and look, and obviously scouting the college ranks, looking towards that 2013 draft and what they might look at doing there, who might be available for them. Looks like, you know, based on the way things are going, you're going to draft fairly late in the draft again. So. Yeah. But also looking at the free agent market and what's going on out there. You never know when an injury hits you. I mean, look what happened to Baltimore yesterday. Looks like they may lose Ray Lewis for the season. Certainly, Ladarius Webb is gone for the year with the ACL injury.
Having a great year.
Yeah, having a great season. And it happens. And you got to kind of keep your ear to the ground and kind of listen and find out who's available should you need to go get a guy.
Dave, we'll talk with Coach Smith about this a little more in a moment, but he mentioned in his press conference here at the top of the hour that you hear every week on 7-9 The Zone that 7 of the 13 games yesterday in this league were determined in the final snap, seconds, play, whatever. You played in this league. How?
It's so hard to win, Wes, each and every week, because there's the human element that's built into this thing where – you know, coaches try to put game plans together, and there's matchups you try to take advantage of. But it's a human beings are playing this game, so you got to get ready each and every week to play. And it's just such a hard scenario to try to predict, let alone win every week.
And as Falcon head coach Mike Smith joins us here live from Flowery Branch, presented by Superior Plumbing, your point about 7 of the 13 games yesterday being like they were. Within the span of 15 seconds late in the afternoon, you had, Arizona and Buffalo, Seattle and New England, and I think there was one more.
Dallas. Dallas misses a field goal lose.
Dallas misses one. I mean, and Dave says it's hard to win. It is hard to win,
and I didn't realize what red zone was all about. I know what red zone is in my mind, but when you talk about the red zone
on
the
TV?
Package.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's amazing. People get to see all that stuff.
Yeah,
across the league. Now, we made it a lot tougher than we needed.
Well, you got
yesterday.
A flair for the dramatics, Smitty. That's kind of the way I look at it. It might be the characteristic of this team.
We need to make it easier on everybody.
Well, and some of it had to do with obviously some turnovers, and you talk about it all the time: securing the football, taking the football away. And I think every coach, if you had to ask them what the main trait they'd like to have, it would be take it away and protect it. And there's a number of reasons as to why certain things happen. But the resiliency of your team to play well defensively when you needed to kind of let the offense get their footing and get rolling.
Yeah, we did not play well in the first half on either side of the ball, in my mind. The turnovers that we had were unacceptable. We can't do that. We know that, and they can be tragic when you have them. But I thought we did a really nice job defensively in the second half with the turnover down to the 2-yard line that led to 3 points, and then of course Asante's interception return for a touchdown that gave us a 7-point lead. So up until that last drive, that 2-minute drive, which is something that we've got to get better at, I thought in the second half the defense did a really nice job. They were on point. We made a couple adjustments in the locker room at halftime, and the guys went out and executed it.
Mike Smith, Coach's Show from Flowery Branch, presented in part by Superior Plumbing and also U.S. Auto Sales. They present the U.S. Auto Sales You Tell Us text line at 77530. Turnovers in this equation, we've talked at times, and I'll pinpoint the Denver game on the Monday night. You get 3 first-half interceptions of Peyton Manning. You know, all things aside, it could have been the difference in the ball game. At the end of the day, it could have been the difference in the game.
Well, Denver could not overcome the 3 interceptions.
Right.
Atlanta did.
That's kind of where I'm going. Your team yesterday showed the ability to overcome 3 first-half interceptions and find a way to win. What does that mean to the head coach of the team?
Well, it means that the guys understand that the game's not over until the last second runs off the clock. And if the clock still has time on it, we still have a chance. And if we can keep it close and get it into the fourth quarter when things aren't going your way, you've got to feel good about it, and you've got to be confident that you're gonna win the football game. Our guys show that resiliency, and we know we have a whole lot of confidence, especially if it's a field goal situation, mm-hmm. that our field goal kicker is going to be able to kick the ball between the uprights. And I can't say enough about Matt. Hit that 55-yarder with 6 seconds to go. But there were a lot of things that took place before that helped us. Our offense did a nice job, 40 seconds on the clock. We had two timeouts. We were able to do a really good job managing the clock and using the sidelines. They were playing soft zones, and we were able to get the ball out of bounds, and we kept that last one in our pocket, knowing that we could use the whole field, and they were going to play the soft zone, and we were able to hit Tony and get us inside the 40-yard line, and that's what we needed to do. We had the 40-yard line as the line to make for us to attempt the field goal.
It's the Coach's Show with Head Coach Mike Smith right here on Sports Radio 790 Zone Westerham. Dave Archer. Smitty, I know you don't care anything about this, but power rankings and what people are saying about this team and all that kind of stuff, but do you have to address it with your players, some of the players, where they don't feel like they might be getting some of the respect they need around the country?
Well, we have a way of doing things that starts at the beginning of the season, and we kind of set them, this is the messaging, this is the emphasis points that we need to, that we need to do as an offense, defense, special teams, and then as a football team. And our guys, I think they do a great job of not listening to the noise. And it comes from a lot of places. Shoot, sometimes it can come from inside your own home. And we've got to not listen to all that stuff. We got to be very focused. We want to have a microscopic focus. We want to be looking through the microscope. We don't want to be looking through the telescope down the road. We want to be focused on something very little, what's real little, right in front of us. We'll worry about the things that are way out down the road later on. And I think they do a nice job. And I think we have guys that have been in this situation before and have seen it go the right way and go the wrong way. And I think we have a good understanding of, can't concern ourselves about it. It's not going to affect the game. The game's going to be played between between the two sidelines.
Well, and the 1-0 this week is where that kind of resolves itself, right?
That's right. We want to be 1-0. We want to be 1-0. We have the next mission. You look at it, it's a 16-game season, but really it's a one-game season. Every game is a season, and that's what you've got to approach. And last week won't have any bearing on what is going to take place in the game today or the game next week as we go through our preparation.
When you start to look at the late game stuff here, the dramatic nature of it aside here, the logistics of everybody being able to get there to communicate, hey, here's where we are, even postscript, like you just mentioned, the two-minute defense, you want to be better at that. Going down the field yesterday with the timeouts and the plays that were called, Dave kept remarking about how, here's the time. You got to be to this point with this much time. Here's the scenario. Do you use the timeout here? The organized chaos that goes into play here. There's got to be a tremendous comfort level with your football team, right?
Well, there is. We have a very good understanding of how we're going to do things in terms of calling timeouts and what we're trying to get done. We go through the different scenarios. The coaches, of course, are in tune with it. Mm-hmm. Matt's in tune with it. And the great thing is that if we get off schedule, we can communicate to the quarterback. In the old days, but when you were playing, Dave, there wasn't any communication.
You call.
Yeah. Is that right, Dave?
That's where they give you a double finger. You call it. We got nothing for you over here.
Where we may have to say, hey, now we need to, look. And, instead of it, we're going to take the check down on first, mm-hmm. The first couple of plays, and knowing that they're going to be soft and we're going to get out of bounds. But if one of them happens to go incomplete, now, as you were probably talking about, now we need in this play, we got to get, instead of 12 yards, we got to get 18 yards, you know, to get us back on schedule to get, you know, to get inside the 40-yard line, which was our yard to make in terms of kicking the field goal attempt yesterday.
Smitty, let me ask you a question, and this is all hindsight. You won the game. Everything worked out fine. If Tony Gonzalez catches the ball on the 2nd and 6 pass off your 40-yard line, rather than it being incomplete, what changes?
Wow, you're going to go be real specific. Because, now you've got to recatalog every play.
The only thinking here is that you go from 2nd and 6, 3rd and 6, and he hits Gonzalez for right at 10, and then you throw 13 more to Tony to set up the play. If the play in the middle of the field is where the ball was incomplete.
Yes, you're going to be using your timeout, and then the next thing you're going to be doing is now you're not going to have the whole field. You're going to probably have to take a shot deeper to the sidelines, very similar to a game way back in 2008.
Yes, yes.
With 6 seconds on the clock. And, you know, we had 12 seconds on the clock before the last play where we hit Tony.
Mm-hmm.
That play took 6 seconds, and we were able to call timeout. But if we had hit it, we would have had to use the timeout, and then we would have been forced to be taking one shot, and the one shot would have definitely had to be where the ball had to be.
So then it would have morphed back to the Chicago game.
That's
for fans.
Now you're going to be playing.
The boundary.
Yeah. You're going to be working the boundary. And believe me, they would have known we were going to be working the boundary, and it would have been very difficult to complete that pass. What we're able to do is we were able to go right down the way we wanted and have the option to use the timeout there at mm-hmm. the end, and now you got the whole field.
And it's a fascinating twist in the way things go, because you got to do it on the fly, as you well know. But it also begs back in hindsight, where you can look and examine kind of each of the plays, and in reviewing that last drive, the catch or the incompletion in some ways makes all the difference in the world.
It does. And whether the clock's going to be, running or not, it's not like college football where a 2-minute drill's an eternity, because every first down you get an opportunity to stop the clock and they move the chains. When that ball's in bounds, that clock is running, and you've got to be very good and have a good understanding of what you need to do when there's a sack, what you need to do in terms of there's a running play. We know how long it's going to take us to get back up after a play is over when we're in a hurry-up offense. It's going to take between 15 and 16 seconds to get the next play off.
Right. When we come back, we'll talk about why it's important to be 1-0 this week. We'll get Smitty to talk about that.
Yeah, and who do you play on bye week? I'm always concerned. Bye's always a tough team, aren't they?
BYE. Not to be confused with BYU.
That's right. That's right. They'll be in town in a couple weeks. Don't forget, Monday night, we got Broncos-Chargers tonight out of Qualcomm.
Broncos-Chargers, yeah.
AFC West football fans, Pizza Hut's $10 deal is back. Perfect for tonight's game. Any pizza, any size, any toppings, $10. When you carry out at your local neighborhood Pizza Hut. More from Flowery Branch as the Mike Smith Coaches Show, presented by Superior Plumbing with Dave Archer and Wes Durham, continues after this on 790 The Zone.
Here's Palmer looking to throw. Moore intercepted. Asante Samuel, midfield, 40, 35. Samuel cuts back, 20, 15, 10, 5. He's done it. Oh, my. What an announcement to Atlanta. 80 yards for Asante Samuel.
Get coverage of every NFL team from your smartphone. To get NFL mobile, call ** NFL to get it now. NFL mobile only from Verizon.
And our SunTrust Bank defensive solid play of the game, Asante Samuel's interception, the 46th of his career. Another touchdown, the 9th of his career. Brings us back to the Mike Smith Show, presented by Superior Plumbing, live at Flowery Branch with David Archer, Wes Durham, and the head coach of the Falcons is here.
Highest I've ever seen you jump.
In the booth.
I've never seen him jump that high.
Well, I tell you what, it sounded a whole lot better hearing it then than me watching it yesterday.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no.
Well, because we all know what happened. Yeah. Go ahead, Arch. You were going to ask
it was fun to hear that call. That was a great call on Asante's interception. 79 yards. For the touchdown. Smitty, I think that people think, okay, the bye week, the players are gone, okay, and you've given the players some time to recharge the battery, as you term it, unplug, and get some things squared away there, get some rest, all those kind of things. But it's still important to you this week to have a victory, and explain that, because I think you got some things you want to take care of this week.
Oh, there's no doubt. As a coach and staff, we need to have a great week. We'll be starting our self-scout this afternoon, and we'll spend time over the next 2 days evaluating everything that we've done. Every coach will have an assignment in terms of what they're responsible for on the offense, defense, special teams. They'll get together as staffs and talk about it, and then we will condense it into a report form to present it to the players and the things that we need to get we need to get better at. And sometimes there's things that you think you're doing well right now that you're not doing well, and things that you're not doing well, when you look at it, when you start looking at specific plays and what has given us the most difficulties offensively, defensively, and special teams, because everybody else is looking at it, and you don't get a good chance to really take an in-depth self-scout. You do it every week, but you don't get to do it as in-depth as you would like, and the bye week is a great opportunity to do it. Then we've got to get some guys healthy. We got some guys that were banged up in the game yesterday. We've got two guys that were not healthy scratches. They were not healthy enough to go play in the ball game, and Michael Palmer and Antone Smith. So we got to get those guys healthy, and we're shooting for coming off the bye week and being able to have a 53-man roster that you can pick from to put those 46. It's tough when you got three or four guys that you know can't play because they're injured, then you've only got three or four spots, and it changes the way you put your 46-man roster together.
When you start looking at your defense, and it is, I guess, hopeful that Corey Peters will be able to come off PUP, be ready to go next week, and be a part of this football team. That would be the plan. What if he is able to do that? What dimension do you think he will bring to your team as you currently look at it?
Well, I think it brings. We hope that Corey's going to be, able to go. It's going to be an evaluation process that we have to that we have to go through. But the dynamic that he brings is that he brings another big body that allows us to. Take plays off of some of the guys that have been playing probably too many plays and really have a true four-man rotation inside instead of a three-man rotation, which we've basically been going through. And Corey is a big anchor point. He's athletic. He's a good pass rusher. So he will definitely, when he's ready to go, will be someone that will be able to help us not only in defending the run but adding pressure to the quarterback.
And you have a window, Smitty. You mentioned it in your press conference. There's a 21-day window to make a decision. If Corey's not ready to go, and you mentioned it, hey, this guy hadn't done anything since March, or April since he was injured, to be able to get up to speed. Now, it might not be next week, but you have a 21-day window to get that done.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. We can go through the evaluation process once he starts practicing. We've got 21 days to activate him and put him on the 53-man roster, and a lot's going to depend on him and how he reacts to being out there in pads and getting back to speed. And we've got him on a fast track in terms of working with our training staff, trying to simulate going through practice. But it's hard to do by yourself, and when you're on the side working with the trainer and the strength coach.
Well, and you got to wonder how much, once he gets in a game with the adrenaline flowing, how many snaps does he have in him? That's another thing that you got a difficult thing to evaluate. Talking to Jonathan Babineau after the game, Babs talked about he was very disruptive, certainly in the first half he was unbelievable. But he mentioned something, and I didn't really consider it, but he talked about how it was a similar blocking scheme that he had seen his first couple years in the league from Greg Knapp, and he had an understanding of how they were going to try to run the football. In watching his film, he confirmed that it was going to be the same way, and he was very destructive.
He was very disruptive. Coach Knapp had been here on the Falcons staff, so the players that have been here for 5 years or more were familiar with his style of offense. But I think Jonathan's been playing some really solid, good football for us the last 4 weeks. He's really doing the things that he's known for, and that's leading the league and tackle for losses. And I'm not sure where he stands right now, but two out of the 4 years that we've been here, he was the top defensive tackle in terms of tackles behind the line of scrimmage. So he is very disruptive. He's very athletic. He can run front side of a block and make a play. He can run back side of a block and make a play. And when when you got a guy that can do that, it kind of slows the offensive lineman down a little bit in terms of what they're trying to do, even if they're doing the zone blocking scheme and running the tracks.
We'll spend a couple minutes on defense. Let's spend a couple minutes on offense.
Well, let me ask one more defensive
sure,
question.
Ahead.
Okay, Asante leaves the game or has to stay out of the game because he's gassed after the return. Okay, Robert McClain slides outside the corner, and you had CO back. Chris Owens is back. He comes in at nickel. And McClain almost has the game ender with an interception. I mean, his ability to slide was a completely different technique in the slot area to slide back out to the corner spot. Talk about that.
Yeah. Robert's been doing a real nice job for us, and the majority of his practice time has been at the nickel. He hasn't had a whole lot of snaps at the corner position, and it is a completely different technique that you're using when you're a corner. When you're playing the nickel, you don't have a sideline out there. So your techniques and the leverage that you take are a little bit different. When you're a corner, based on the splits, your leverage can be dictated, and you don't have as much to protect. But he did a nice job. Would have been a heck of a play if he would have been able to complete the action of catching the ball, and we would have probably been able to run the clock out there.
Yeah.
We'd have if we get one first down, game's over, because it was 220 or something like that, and I believe they still had all three.
Sometimes timeouts. Better to stay on the ground than try and get up and run with it.
Sometimes, you know, and that'll be a coaching point when we watch the tape with them. We'll talk about it. Hey, here's the situation. Hey, you've got your interception. We're up by 7. There's 2 minutes and change on the clock. Those are things that are teaching and learning moments. But he made a great play and a great break on the ball.
We offensively, real quick here, you've been asked about the run. You've talked about the run. You want to run it better. I think everybody universally knows that. Is this a week two through the self-scouting and some of these other schematic things you're looking at where you say, okay, if we're doing it the right way, how are we doing it right? And if we need to work on it, this is what we need to do to improve or come with new processes altogether, right?
Yeah, I think you got to look at the efficiencies of your run game and yourself when you're self-scouting, and you look at what plays and what's been successful and what hasn't been successful. And it may be that we are going to have to do some things schematically a little bit different. It may be that we've just got to tighten up some techniques, or we may have to tweak something in terms of how we're going to, how we're going to block it against a certain front. We like it against this front, but we may not like it against another front. And those are the things that coaches do when you're evaluating yourself. It's always changing. I always say, hey, guys, you got to be able to INA to play or coach in the NFL. What I mean by INA is you got to be able to improvise and adjust all the time, because if you can't do it and you're so stuck in your ways, you're not going to have the success that you need to have.
Well, it's a nice place to be an INA in from, 6-0.
Yeah. Smitty, enjoy the open day. Thank you.
All right, guys.